I love you. I'm charmed by your lovely form. And if you're not willing, I'll have to use force. Father, my father, he's gripped me at last. The Earl Koenig's hurting me, holding me fast. Johann Wolfgang Goethe. This is Whispers of Oxenfurt, a podcast based on the Witcher universe by Polish author Andrzej Sapkowski. Well, it's been a while, hasn't it? But I do think from now on, I should be a little bit more caught up somewhat. As, sometimes you start new jobs, you know, kind of got to get caught up with everything. So I appreciate your patience and seeing how it is 2:40 in the morning right now. Let's get going. Lady of the Lake, Chapter 5. It's a Ciri chapter. Ciri in another world, lost in space and time. As what happens a fair amount in this book, we begin in Meteores, right in the middle, of Ciri and her time in this elven otherland. I'm a prisoner here, she cries out to a fair-haired elf serving as her captor. Krevin Espen Ep Kom Maka, or Avalok, as he is more easily known, much more easily known, as the Knowing One, or elven sorcerer. Ciri has strayed far from Laradorin. She has lost the bond with her blood. But Avalok will explain a lot of this on the way. Here is the choice she has, and it's a simple choice, right? They want to have her child, after which she is permitted to leave. Her father, Kreganen, took a child from them, and she will return what is theirs. Ciri explains, that's not my father, but her human generations mean nothing to them. She will stay here forever, if needed. We will prove to you that time is meaningless. They will be able to repay that lost time to her, so she can see her friends again. Delaying tactics come to her mind. As Vesemir says, when they are about to hang you, ask for a glass of water. You never know what might happen before they bring it. And oh, Vesemir, the Witcher quartet from Kaer Morhen. It's been so long since we've seen them. The unicorns gallop over, and they seem to agitate Avalok. Ciri picks up on this, and when she questions him, he says, think of it as a lover's tiff, and nothing more, which is a weird way to put it, but we won't look too far into it. Okay. The black-haired leader of the riders, Eredin Breit Glas, rides over. He warns Avalok of the unicorns, saying they've just been agitated lately. He calls Ciri a simple young dwan, and just a simple human female, which is in kind of a weird way to make himself known to her, but hey. Onwards to Tir Nalia, the capital of these NL elves. The city amazes her. She has only seen one place like it, Sheerawed. When they arrive at the palace, Eredin turns that charm up to 11, saying, hey, you know, take a bath, there's no rush, rest up. You know, put some makeup on, get ready to get down. And he says, oh yeah, you ain't breaking the spell of the barriers, and you ain't leaving. Capiche? Okay, time for Ciri to meet the king, Oberyn Myrtichak. Tall, slim, okay. As someone who's about 6'2", 180 pounds, I like where this is going. All right, what badass thing is he doing? In preparation, he's blowing bubbles. He is literally blowing soapy water through a straw. Okay, it's to each his own. No shame. No kink shame in here. They have a pleasant conversation that ends with him saying, get out and leave me alone. All right, so was it good? Was it bad? As what happens a lot of times here, Ciri just goes right back to Avalok, saying, hey, bro, put down them pipes and listen for a second. He does and tells her about Ithian prophecy, the white frost, and all of that. I think it's about the third or fourth time they've had to remind us through here. The time of contempt, the time of the battle axe, the time of the wolfish blizzard. And I think this is one of those times where the translation is a bit too literal and, you know, doesn't have the same cachet as in Polish.
Oh, baby. It's got cachet up the yin yang.
Okay. It's got cachet. That's fine. You know, no one's trying to name their child Seven here. The world is ending. She is the only way to save her friends and everyone from her world. Avalok even wants to help the Unsaid elves from the continent. She must stay with Oberon all night. She has a great talk with him about destiny with the king, Oberon. She has to get back to Geralt because they are tied together. Well, in this case, then just sit back and whatever happens will happen. Destiny is a predestination that you cannot change. It doesn't work like that, she says. Oh, but of course it does. If something is meant to happen, then it will happen. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. Like the great snake Ouroboros eating its own tail, time is fleeting. It is at once the past, present, and future, a simultaneous beginning and end that is happening at every moment around us. He tells her to disrobe and proceeds to pleasure her with his fingers and touch, causing her to be greatly aroused, at which point he departs, leaving her humiliated. Ciri's frustrations get the better of her as she lashes out at Avalok and Oberon. And okay, she's lashing out to Avalok about Oberon, like he's not there. It's just her and the elven sorcerer. She goes a bit too far, invoking Lara's eyes, and Avalok chokes her for a moment, showing what he's capable of, despite being very calm and cool. He then reveals that Cronigan, her ancestor, took Lara from him, his love. Ciri, after another typical night with the king, suffers a very strange dream. She sees Visigoda, who says she is in great danger. What have I done? He says. I told you to go there. Flee at once. Images of Yin, bloodied, tortured, and shackled in a dungeon. Geralt, lost in a blizzard. Later on, Aridin loses a race to Ciri and then makes his play. She will stay here forever. She will never be allowed to leave. He makes a coying offer of giving this thing, you know, this little vial to Oberon. It will help him. It'll help him get going, get moving, right? And she rejects it. Time is meaningless, he tells her. Children she knew are now decrepit adults. Another uncomfortable night with the king, including some use of Fistech, and it ends with them arguing and yelling at each other. He throws the glass at her, and she sees images from her dream in it. The next day, Ciri makes a break for the Forbidden Territory, for the unicorns, where she sees the White One again. It speaks to her. I've grown, Star Eye. Little horse? My name is Ihiroquax. We want to help you escape. You have no place here. We cannot let the Sparrowhawk or the Fox take power. She will let them help her escape, as long as Little Horse is with her. But first she will see the king one more time. And he has been poisoned. And he's holding the vial that Aridin had, so. But before he dies, he wants to tell her a secret. On the boat to escape, the leader of the Red Riders, Aridin, confronts her, and they fight. He denies that it was anything but for Vigor, the vial that he gave. He's like, no, I don't, what happened here, you know? This was to help him. Who could have known what happened? There's a Hollywood-esque comical moment where, as they're on the boat, squaring each other off, kind of floating down the river, she's like, okay, I have a secret to tell you. And we're like, oh, okay, we're going to hear what Oberon told her. But nope, it's, you won't fit under the bridge. And he turns around and boom, slams his head against it and falls out. It's very lighthearted. What's not as lighthearted is she stabs him on the way down. But he does end up making it to the shore all right. Ihiroquax shows her a boneyard of those the fox, the sparrowhawk, and the king had conquered. This was not their world. They came, killed everybody there, and basically took it. They race and leave to another world. The dragon, the winter maiden, constellation she recognizes, finally, back to her world. No, little horse says, this isn't your place. This is not your time. They continue on. I am the master of worlds. I am the elder blood. I am the blood of Lara Doran, the daughter of Shiadal. I am ready, she says. A buzzing in her ears and bright flash, then darkness. So the quote at the beginning of the chapter from the poem by Goethe was obviously based on the Erl Koenig in his most famous ballad. And you know what? How about I just go ahead and read off this English translation of it? This was translated by Edgar Alfred Boring. Who rides there so late through the night dark and drear? The father it is, with his infant so dear. He holdeth the boy, tightly clasped in his arm. He holdeth him safely, he keepeth him warm. My son, wherefore seek thou thy face thus to hide? Look, father, the Erl King is close by our side. Dost see not the Erl King with crown and with train? My son, 'tis the mist rising over the plain. O come, thou dear infant, O come thou with me, for many a game I will play there with thee. On my strand, lovely flowers, their blossoms unfold, my mother shall grace thee with garments of gold. My father, and dost thou not hear the words that the Erl King now breathed in my ear? Be calm, dearest child, 'tis thy fancy deceives, 'tis the sad wind that sighs through the withering leaves. Wilt go then, dear infant, wilt go there with me? My daughter shall tend thee with sisterly care. My daughters by night their glad festival keep. They'll dance thee and rock thee and sing thee to sleep. My father, and dost thou not see how the Erl King his daughters has brought here for me? My darling, I see it aright. 'Tis the aged gray willows deceiving thy sight. I love thee, I'm charmed by thy beauty, dear boy. And if thou'rt unwilling, then force I'll employ. My father, he seizes me fast, for sorely the Erl King has hurt me at last. The father now gallops, with terror half wild. He grasps in his arms the poor shuddering child. He reaches his courtyard, with toil and with dread. The child in his arms finds he motionless, dead. Well, that was uplifting and fun, so basically, this comes, Goethe was German, and what it comes from, the Erl King, or the Erl Koenig, is a Scandinavian from, or originally from Scandinavian word, Erl Koenig, King of the Elves, the Alder King, and basically, what it came from was female spirit, who was responsible for ensnaring human beings to satisfy her desire, jealousy, or lust for revenge. It usually comes, you know, Grimm's fairy tales and all that. So this was his take on it, where the Erl King here is the one who actually, like, kills this child. And I kind of tried to look up some of, like, the meaning of what it is, but I guess this was just a 18th century German dude. And I guess that's what they did for fun. So hope that didn't bring the room down too much. All right, so it's good to be back. Good to see you again. There are several other Witcher podcasts in the making coming up. We should have the Netflix series coming out within the next possible 2 months. So, exciting time to be a Witcher fan. And I'll see you next week.